We're learning Megillas Esther. And so I owe you a response. We were talking last time. We moved past it, but I want to go back just for a moment. We talked last time about Mordechai comes to Esther, and he tries to convince her to go and do something. We talked about how he's convincing her, what he's convincing her. I gave my shot in exactly what he was trying to accomplish and saying, hey, if you don't do it, somebody else will. Don't worry. We talked about that, her grabbing the reins of history. Fine. Pointed out that if you look in Perek Dalid, Pasuk Zayin. So eventually, Hatach, back and forth. So it says, Vayagid l'Mordechai kol asher karahu. Mordechai tells Hatach everything that happened. Ve'et harasas ha-kesef asher amar haman l'shkol al-gintei ha-melech ba-yudim l'abdom. And about the money, he told Hatach about the money that Haman offered Ahasuerus. And then, and also, that he wants to kill the Jews. Okay. And we pointed out it seems a little bit strange that Parash was like, why mentioning the money? I'm sure he told him the whole story. Why the money? I thought the most compelling svar I think we had was, don't think you could bribe him. You have to do something else. This is beyond money. Don't think you can bribe him. He was already trying to be bribed for it. He didn't take any money to go along with Haman anyway. So don't think that you can win over with money. But we did point out that it's a little bit funny, the phrase, Ve'et parashat ha-kesef. So I tried looking into this a little bit. So I found three different answers. One of them is here, it's the Chazon Sofer. But Rashi already writes on the Megillah, Ve'et parashat ha-kesef. So parashat ha-kesef sounds like the parasha, meaning the story of the money. That's Pashup Shat. The story of the money. Parashat ha-kesef, the story of the money. Rashi says, no. Parashat there, an additional level of interpretation, it's certainly the story of the money, it's Perush HaKesef, the meaning of the money. I mean, the meaning of the money. So the Achronim explain in Rashi, what does he mean, the meaning of the money? That Gemara that we referred to about a month ago, in the Gemara of Gilead Gimel, that why did Haman be Shokel Shkolim? To counteract our Shkolim, right? To counteract the Machzis HaShekel, that's what his whole plan was. And that's why the Gemara there says, Golo Yivyadu Alifnei Misha Amar Vaya Olam, Hashem knew that Haman was going to be Sokol Shkolim Al Yisrael. He was going to offer Shkolim to buy us off. Therefore, Hiktim Shkolehem Lishkolav. Our Shkolim come first to build the Mishkan, and also in the calendar, that's why Be'echad Be'adar Mashmim Al Shkolim. We start to collect, this week is Parsha Shkolim. Right? We start to collect Shkolim beginning from Rosh Chodesh Adar. So he says, they explain in Rashi, no, Haman was taking advantage of the Shkolim. He was counteracting the Shkolim. What do you mean counteracting the Shkolim? The whole point of the Shkolim was to bring people together. And he was trying to keep them separated. Mefuzer, Mefuret Ben Amim, she should be aware this is the spiritual force that Haman is using to attack the Jewish people. Okay. Clever. And in fact, it's even more clever because when Esther's response, which we haven't gotten to, but it's Lech Knosses Kol Yehudim, gather everybody together. We talked about the Knosses, it means gather everyone together as the counteracting to Mefuzer and Mefurad. Now, how would she know about Haman's Mefuzer and Mefurad? You can say, no, she didn't. She didn't know about it, and then she said it anyway. Alternatively, she knew what Haman was trying to do. Right? Paras, no, but you could say here, maybe this is what Rashi's saying, Mordechai explained to her the payrus of the kesef. He explained to her not the political idea of the money, but the spiritual idea of the money to counteract the Master Shekel, and she said, yeah, we'll counteract that with Lech Knosses Kol Yehudim. Admittedly, I'm reading a lot into Rashi. Rashi just says payrus ha-kesef, but I think that's one way to mention why the Parashat HaKesef gets in here. The Gra has a parish on, he has four different parishes on the Megillah. There's Al Derech HaPshat, Al Derech HaDrash, Al Derech HaRemez, Al Derech HaSod. They get consecutively shorter. The Sod one doesn't make it through the whole way of the Megillah. I don't know. I can't tell you, I understand everything he says there. But Al Derech HaPshat, that's the easier one, he says, no. Go back. Remember we had this whole debate. What was in the letters? We said that many Mepharshim explained there were two letters. There was one letter that went out to the administrative people, the ministers of all the different lands that told them exactly what's going to happen. And then there was the second Ksav Hadasli, nothing, right? To put up big plaques and flyers in the big cities, be ready for Yud Gimel Adar. But it didn't say to be ready for what? And then eventually they'll lead them on. Right? You had these two different letters. So he says if you read carefully, so you have to read it carefully, it's not going to work so well. He says, well, what did Mordechai see in Shushan? So we argued that he just found out. He says, no. Mordechai didn't find out. Mordechai saw the plaques. He saw the flyers. Be ready for Yud Gimel Adar. Doesn't say for what. He presumed it was something militaristic. Okay, fine. And then he heard also from the treasurers, from the people in the finance bureau, that Haman was counting money to offer Haman to buy off the Jews. So he knew about the money to buy off the Jews. He knew about the letters. And he put two and two together, and he explained that's what's going on. And that's why, right? He had to give her the flyer to show her what it said in Shushan, but also with the explanation, because the flyer doesn't say anything. The flyer doesn't say the Jews are in danger, but he put two and two together, and he was able to, therefore, figure it out. It's unclear. It's unclear in the Gra, when the Gra writes, it's very concise, like super concise. He doesn't go either way. He doesn't go either way that Ahasuerus turned to them. It's irrelevant, though, meaning if he knows that Haman was trying to buy off the Jews to kill them, and then he knows these letters went out, whether Ahasuerus accepted or not isn't relevant to his point. The challenge, though, is if you read the Pesukim, it doesn't sound like that. I'm not going to challenge the Gra in understanding Pesat and Pesukim. You have to just read it differently, but the Pesat and... Yeah?
Last week, I had a question of trust.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Karahu, what happened to Mordechai? Correct. So they explain... Yes. Before we get to my point of thought, Mordechai said before Parashat Tekeset, et kol asher karahu, all the things that happened to him, what happened to him? Nothing. Nothing happened to Mordechai. So I thought pshat was that he figured it out. Kol asher karahu means he figured it out, meaning the public proclamation was just be ready, and kol asher karahu, he figured it out. This is before I saw the Gra who says that he put two and two to get the money. I don't remember what the Gra there says in Karahu. But that's how I... Kolasar Karahu means he figured it out. He put two and two together. He knew enough information to figure it out. The Gra is just saying it on the next shot, on Eifar Shad HaKesef. The challenge is if you read Pasuk Ches, it says, V'et bet shekeng tavadat asher nitan bet Shushan, right? And the flyer that was in Shushan, but I just cut off the Pasuk. The Pasuk doesn't say that. The Pasuk says, V'et bet shekeng tavadat asher nitan bet Shushan lahashmidam natan lo. He gave the flyer that says to kill the Jews. So you have to say, no. He didn't give her the flyer that says to kill the Jews. He gave her the flyer, which he explains means to kill the Jews. Okay, if the Gra thought that was pshat, I'm going to go with the Gra thought that was pshat, and I'm going to stand back. But fine. So either you read it into Karahu, or you read it into Parashat HaKesef, but they give this clever idea that that Mordechai was able to put it together. Right? Because it wasn't obvious otherwise. It goes very well with the end of the previous parak that says there were two letters intentionally meant to mislead the Jews. So they wouldn't know. Right? So that the people wouldn't have this idea and be able to rebel or be able to protect themselves. So those two, I think, are... The Gra's opinion could be pshat, I think, in what happened. I think it fits very well into the story. He doesn't need my approval. And Rashi is already giving an additional level of interpretation, but I think it fits in nicely because then Esther says, Lech Knos Kol Yehudim. Nichasim Sofer, you have it here, gives a very, very, very fancy explanation. I thought we'd see it because it's just very fancy. So it's here on the right. In the second column, it's very microscopic. I probably should have blown it up a little bit. I apologize. Esther Minatara Minayin. So we saw this Gemara in Chulin, Kupla Mites. The Gemara in Chulin we saw, the previous one, Haman Minatara Minayin. I usually talk about Esther Minatara Minayin. Where do you see Esther in the Torah? We talked about this, right? Esther's not in the Torah, right? Wait, you see it? Anochi Haster Astir Panai Bayomahu. I will hide my face. I made a whole argument that the whole point of the Megillah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiding his face. There's no mitzvah to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everybody else. That's awesome. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiding his face is not really hiding his face. It's just you can't see it. It's just a block. There's a mask. But he's still there in front of it. Fine. So the Gemara also says, Haman min HaTorah minayin. Where's Haman in the Torah? Obviously, again, he's not in the Torah because the story was 1,000 years later. Correct. And they say, no, the reference is to Hamina Eita Sher Tzivisi Lotu Chavivenu Achalsa. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Adam and Chava and says, did you eat from the tree, the Eita Das? Hamin Ha'et, Hei Memnun, Haman. Now that's clever, but what in the world does that have to do with that? So Esther, I think, is easier to read through. Haster Asir Panai, her name is Esther. Hester Panim, it works very easily. What does Hamin Ha'et? Now I understand they did something bad. They did something bad. Hamin Ha'et, Haman is bad, the tree is bad, but like... What's going on? So the
The
one thing they couldn't. So the Chassid Sofer's part is much more lumbish. Now you have to read into it. He says like this. Haman min dagarinai. I'm sorry, it's the first full paragraph on top. Haman. Haman min dagarinai. So he says, "Siv et parashat haketzav asher amar Haman lishkol." Right, that pasuk that we said. The parashat haketzav. So wait, is that a peirush Rashi? Peirush haketzav. The peirush of the money. Parashat haketzav means peirush of the money. Again, what does that mean? So the Chassid Sofer gives his own explanation. The amarti kavanaso ki hayu rishonim nachashim beheter al pi davar hayosei mipi kamo nichus yehonas and kamo shiluch melach aram gabe yehoram. There's something called nichus. Nichus means that you're like a little bit of a superstition thing, right? The Gemara says, if you say, it's the Gemara in Chulin, right there, right? That if a black cat comes in front of you, you're not going to go out that day, or if something, food fell out of your mouth, you're not going to go do business that day, that's nichus. That's not allowed. That's superstitious. So the Gemara says, well, what about Eliezer Eved Avraham? The Torah doesn't say Eliezer, but we know it's Eliezer, who goes to the well about Rivka, and he says, well, if she tells me like this and like that, she's the girl. Who told you could do that? That's nichus. So the Gemara seems to say that's okay. And there's by Shilach Melech Aram, there are all sorts of other, by Yehonathan, not Yehoram here. I think I might have to say Yehonathan. But Yehonathan Ben Shaul has a whole thing. He's approaching with his, not the golf carrier, but he's not carrying the golf clubs, he's carrying the weapons. So I don't know what you call the guy who carries weapons. He's the caddy, but the caddy for the weapons, he's the weapons caddy. So they... Armor. Okay, whatever. So he's with his guy, and they want to know, should they go attack, should they not attack? So they say, well, we'll see, we're going to listen to what they say, and depending on what they overhear two sentries from Aram talking, and whatever they say, they'll know whether to attack or not to attack. I say, anichus? That one's obviously not, you'll know if they're afraid, and then meaning that's like a svara. That makes sense. You could also tell me that Eliezer is also a svara for another time. But you could see that sometimes nichus is okay. Depends on their criteria. You have to figure out when it's okay, when it's not. Yeah. Yeah.
In essence, I think Mordechai is saying, perhaps I'm responsible for this whole possibility.
Because he didn't bow down. Interesting. Okay, we'll have to get to that shortly. Okay. I'm going to keep that thought until after. So again, so the Chassid Sofer is saying, oh, this is nichus that's permissible. He calls it nichus mutter. He says nichus is okay. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Right? Fine. V'hacha amar ha-chasverus, ha-kesev natun loch, ve'am ma'asas v'katov v'inecha. Right? And so, ha-chasverus tells Haman, do whatever, you keep the money, and do whatever you want with the Jews. Ukshetishma Esther ha-davar, yasa mipi ha-melech, tach li'chas v'shom, ki efe stigma v'yishua. And when Esther will hear it, she'll think, it's over, there's no hope, there's no hope. I'm in the 1, 2, 3, 4, the 6th line. Right? There's a dot. So therefore. Okay. So meaning, he's setting up a whole system. He's saying like this. If Esther hears that Ahasuerus said, HaKesev Nasun Loch Ve'am Asos Vokato Ve'necha, keep the money, do whatever you want. It sounds like Adavar Yosem Yitzi Amelech, meaning it's over. There's no hope. It's a done deal. There's no hope. So therefore, Mordechai was preempting this thought. How? Very clever. He says, what's the explanation of kesef? Gematria 8. Okay? Math people? It works out. I check.
160.
Yeah, it works out. It works. The simple ones I can handle. Right? Gematria 8. Kamashka du tosos terakama de Megillah. Okay? Vim kain. Adaraba. Pivich shilo. This was Haman setting up his own demise. Why? Lamor ha'eitz natunlach. He didn't say ha'kesef natunlach. He meant ha'eitz natunlach, meaning the tree that you'll eventually be hanged on is given to you. You caused your own demise. Okay. The problem is, it's a beautiful drasha, right? Meaning Ahasuerus told Haman the eitz that you're going to be hanged on is your pivach shilo. It's your fault. And he asks, he says, wait a minute. He says, hold on. The Chassid Sofer says, this is nice. Sorry. Oh, so it gets better. He says, Elch Oreis Lepakmikal Zeh. He goes, yes, it's very, very difficult. Dilmaskana, the Kushta, why? Shekvara Inu. He says, we know the end of the story. Shenitla Hamanalis. We know that he's going to be hanged on the tree. So we know that Kesef, eight, he's going to be hanged on it. We can put all of that together. Right? Hare anu mevinim shahayu zet tamim b'tshuvat ha'zal ha'shveros. Ha'kesef natun l'chopi v'chshilo. We only can pretend to know that because we know the end of the story. But if you're hearing this for the first time, why in the world would you say that? Why in the world would you say, no. When the Ahasuerus told Haman Kesef, don't worry, Esther. He doesn't mean Kesef. He means the eighth. And don't worry, it's not a done deal. Haman's going to hang on the tree. How in the world would he put that together? It could be Ruach HaKodesh. He says, no, he says, better. He says, it's very clever. He says, how would he possibly know that? We know the end of the story. So we hear eighth, and we hear Haman. We assume hanging on the eighth. Okay. Aval kodem lezemi nali l'mordechai l'Esther. L'ham mispekesef gematria shel eighth. Why would they think that eighth is gematria? In case of gematria, it is, but so what? Umay olmei to eighth in avenu barzel v'koklei mashchit. Why would they think he's going to be hanged by a tree? Maybe he'll be hanged by a sword. Maybe he'll be hanged by an arrow. Who knows? Why would they assume when Ahasuerus said, Akesef nosun lach, it's the demise of Haman? Elas the Kabbalah haisa v'yadam. Why? They knew Haman min ha'Torah minayin. Why? Hamina eitz. Asher tzivisi, because of the nachas that they ate from the tree, hamin ha'eitz. They knew that there's going to be a spiritual demise that's going to happen because of an eitz. Right? So, Echad mitzluchei nachas ha'kadmon li'hikasa b'tliyat eitz. K'yichiv, hamin ha'eitz. Al karchak siyasa mi peach asveres hakesef nasan lach chasav Mordechai shezeu haman harazeh sofa ladun be'eitz. When he heard, okay, this is why Ahasuerus had to explain the parashas hakesef, what's the parish? He said, no, you would never have thought to say hakesef means eitz, but if you know the drasha of hamin ha'eitz, right, I mean, you have to understand that the drasha of hamin ha'eitz has nothing to do with Haman, right? Mordechai had to have known that this drasha in Torah exists. Hamin ha'eitz means something bad. And he put together, oh, eitz means bad, and kesef is eitz, and Haman, hamin ha'eitz. It all goes together, and that's what Mordechai explained to Esther, and that's what he was explaining. It's very clever. It's very clever. I like it. It's clever. I don't know. I don't think he would say it's shy, but it's clever.
There is an opinion, actually, I've heard of it, Mordechai had the whole plot. That he was given the plot. He knew.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I heard Mordechai knew the plot.
Oh, wow. Okay, if Mordechai knew the plot, then I don't have much to add. So I'm going to assume for the rest of this that he doesn't. Most of my explanation will be based on the fact that he's responding in the moment. But I thought, okay, so this means, so again, this Chasam Sofer is very clever, very creative. He's very creative. I don't think he would tell you that that's pshat, but I don't think Rashi would tell you Parashas HaKesef also means Parashas HaKesef is pshat either. It doesn't mean the story of the money. Story of the money. Now, again, the Megillah works on multiple levels. It's written by Ruach HaKodesh. So it's very well that it's meant to relay all of this additional, it's loaded. These are loaded terms. So what exactly does it mean? It's a loaded term. So the Chasam Sofer is giving you a... Yeah, Parashas HaKesef. Yeah. This is a very good, I'm going to try to say this at the Purim Suda, and we'll see how well that goes. This is like a lot of pretzeling to actually come out in... I will... Oh, no. that was assumed. Yes. No, definitely after. I start early in the morning. The Rashash is makvid that the Suda needs to be in the morning. Yeah, no, this is definitely part of the Sod. Okay. This is definitely not pshat, so I don't know if it's remez or drash. I don't know what level it is. It's definitely not pshat. But it's very clever, very creative. Again, if I had to think of you pshat, I think the grud is pshat. If you had to find a pshat, why is the Megillah focusing on this? It's because maybe it's Asher Karahu. We'll get to your point in a moment. But if Mordechai put something together, fine. Now, it's an interesting question. Does Mordechai put together the fact that he's at fault here? That Haman wants to kill the Jews because of him, or is that just so ridiculously crazy? Meaning, he doesn't like me, so he's going to kill all my people. It just, we don't know if Haman and if Mordechai puts, there's no indication that he realizes it's out of his own hatred, but it could be. No, he's a person, but he's not a rational person, right? He's clearly not a rational person. Right, so we'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to that, maybe not in a moment. Yeah. No, we're definitely not going to get that in the moment. Probably next week. But yeah. So we have to figure that part out. Fine. So we have now Mordechai convinces Esther to go, and she's going to do. So what's the plan? Question?
No, Haman was Amalek. So he wanted to finish the job.
So they could, right? So they point out, right? That Haman's from Amalek, and Mordechai's from Shaul, and it retraces that that battle. Right. Fine. So, okay. So let's get back to Pasuk Yud. Oh, we did this already, right? Pasuk Yud, we did. Sorry. And we did his argument. So Tesvav. Mordechai convinces Esther to go. We covered that last time. The parashat Tekesef. I apologize for the interlude. Fine. So Tesvav. Atomer Esther lahashiv Mordechai. Fine. I give in. Leich Knosis kol Yehudim animtzai b'shushan. Collect everyone. We talked about the importance of Knos. V'tzum olai v'al tochlu v'al tishtu shlosh demim laila v'yom. Gamani v'naratai atzum kein. Everyone fasts for 3 days. And me and my girls, presumably the ones in her, right? She, previously in the pasuk it says, Vatavona na'arot Esther v'sariseha. She has people that are close to her. Will also fast. Uvechein avol ha-melech asher lo kadosh. And I will enter the king's chamber asher lo kadosh. Against the rules, right? The first, the das we know is the public rule, right? Because it's pachek and aksavi nothing das. Das is the public rule. Against the public rule, v'chasher avadeti avadeti. So it sounds like whatever happens, happens. Right? We'll have to get to all those words. Vayavar Mordechai, or Mordechai goes, Vayas kosher tzim tzolav Esther, and he does what Esther says. So let's figure out all of those words. So we said, Leich Knosis Kol Yehudim, pointed out the Megillah again does not say they should daven, but we know that fasting comes with davening. We're going to discuss, not today, because we're going to run out of time. So if that's an interesting question. What are the dates? When is this happening? When is this, we know it's around Pesach, but exactly when? So there's a machlokas now. I don't know if it's Rishonim, certainly Achronim. How do you count the 3 days? Is today one day, or the day that they're having a conversation? The next 3 days? When does Esther actually have the parties? At the end of the, on the third day, on the fourth day? Maybe she has, they have a whole thing. Maybe she didn't have the party on the first day because she was still fasting. So she had to wait for the party to end. The whole chesed. Maybe she had to wait for the day to end so she could join at the party. The whole chesed exactly. We'll do the math. I'll give you like a chart of all the different opinions on the timing. We know it's around Pesach time because we know the Gemara says, Vayavor Mordechai, that he passed, meaning he went through the city. Vayavor, he went through the city, right? Also, Vayavor, and the Gemara says he maybe did an Avera. They were over on fasting on Yontif, meaning they fasted on Pesach. They shouldn't have fasted on Pesach. Maybe they should have to save Am Yisrael, but they did. He passed it was okay. Vayavor Mordechai. So we know it's one of the 3 days was on Yontif, but which of the 3 days was on Yontif? Okay. There's also an old minhag, what the Sfarim at least have, to davka eat rice on the second day of Pesach, zecher to this nes. Right? Because we know that Daniel ate rice in the palace because he couldn't eat anything else that was cooked because he wasn't sure it was kosher, so maybe Esther did the same thing, so we eat rice on that day specifically. No. But we eat rice every day of Pesach, so it's like it's not... No, I'm saying we eat rice every day. Correct. Like in my family, there's no, like, you can't have a day of Pesach without rice. It's not like specifically the second day. You have rice in the first, you have rice every day of Pesach. Because it's Yom Tov. Good day. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, clever. Right, so we write it's Yom Tov. So you have rice, because it's Yom Tov. How do you do with Esther? Fine. Okay. So she goes, but the psukim are very, very vague about what's the plan? What's her plan? You ever think about it? What does Esther tell Mordechai, I'm going to do? We're going to fast 3 days? I got it. I'm going to go see them. But what's the plan? Meaning, what's she going to do when she gets to them? So I assume, if you never read the Megillah before, it sounds like she's going to go and beg for his mercy on the Jewish people. Now, that doesn't, and the kasher avati means, and if he kills me for going in, he kills me for going in. That's not what happens. We all know that's not what happens. She goes in and invites him to a party. Right? And then the next day, she invites him to another party. And at the first party, she invites him to another party. What's the plan? I mean, going in l'chaschila, what is her plan? The pasuk doesn't tell us. So this is a very clever way of making the story, right? Don't tell me what the plan is and describe how it worked, right? Just tell me what happened, and then I'll have to figure out what the plan was from the story. It's a clever literary technique.
The second party has to come after Haman has to beg Mordechai.
Correct, but she doesn't know that. That's not part of the plan.
She has
Right, the night in between the parties is the night that Ahasuerus can't sleep, and then the whole story with Haman, and then Mordechai on the horse. That's not part of her plan. That can't be part of her plan. She's going to plan that Ahasuerus can't sleep, and that Haman will coincidentally be prancing around, and that, does she even know this whole story that Mordechai...
Haman just came back.
Correct, yes, yeah.
Haman just came back from the horse.
Correct, but that's the second party, right? But she can't plan for the horse. We know already. We know. We all know the story, right? We'll go through the details, though. But that night, right? That night he can't sleep, and he's reading about Mordechai, and then Haman happens to be outside. What should I do? And Haman has to parade Mordechai throughout the city, and then the next party, Haman comes straight from the horse. Okay, he goes home first. I think he goes home. I think the most important conversation of the Megillah happens between the wife and between Zeresh and Haman. But she doesn't know any of that. Esther can't plan for any of that. She has no idea that this is going to happen. That's coincidental, if you will. Right?
She told her that woman and Ahasuerus are very close. So he wanted to get each
other. Oh, so that's my argument. So the Gemara gives like 8 different answers. What was the point of inviting him to the party? And so I think if you have to read that a little bit more carefully, meaning what was the point of inviting him to the party is, what was her plan? And did she execute the plan? So I'm going to argue the following. I'm going to argue she had a plan, and the plan changed. She does not execute the plan. I'm going to argue she does not execute the plan, but she changes it midway, and that's part of the point of the Megillah. Let me give the introduction, then I'll prove it. Nick, you have to come back next week. I have to leave you with, like, you know, wanting more. If I don't leave you off a cliffhanger, it's not going to work. No. I think she has a clear plan. Yeah, so I think she has a clear plan, and I think she changes it in the middle, midway, and I think that's the lesson of the Megillah. The whole lesson of the Megillah is that because she changes it midway.
That's why the second part...
No, the second party was planned. I think. I'm not going to have time to give you the whole elaborate chat, but I think the point of the Megillah, I said it last time, was not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs history. That's true. He runs history. We get it. Even when there's a Hester Punyan, even when we can't see it, when there's no Kriyas Yamsuf, there's no frogs, there's no dumb, no locusts, well, flooding with locusts now. If you don't know any of that, he's still running the show behind the scenes. True. Absolutely true. The Yad Hashem runs the world. The additional level is that when you see it happening, you need to respond. And that's what Mordechai tells Esther last week. Meaning, this is happening now. You're the queen. Grab the reins of history and do something with it. It's happening. Respond. And that's how Mordechai convinces Esther to go into the king. And Esther, I'm going to argue, learned this lesson. And she said, yes, you're right. Correct. Going. And then as the plan unfolds, she sees the Yad Hashem in the world in such an explicit way that she then changes the plan in response. She changes the plan in response to recognizing Yad Hashem in the world more than she thought was going to happen. She had a plan of how it's going to play out. And then she sees the Yad Hashem in the world and she changes the plan because she sees, I need to grab the reins again. That's the lesson Mordechai taught her. And then I'm going to argue at the very end of the story that the Jews do the same thing. When they see the Yad Hashem in the world, so they establish a Yom Tov, and you've seen the Pesuk and how it works out. That they actually, they're also, they learn the lesson and they respond. So that's our lesson, is not just to recognize the Yad Hashem in the world, but when we see it, to respond. So let me tell you what I think her plan is. I'm not going to have time to prove it today. Her original plan is as follows. I think it is, and there's one opinion in the Gemara, she has a problem. She has a problem. She can't just ask Ahasuerus to take away the decree. Why would he care? Why would he care? Because she's included in it. No, you're exempt. Right? We can commute people's sentences left and right. Doesn't matter what you did. I can commute your sentence. You can be in jail. It doesn't matter how bad of a person you are.
Can't change an edict.
So that I'm going to assume she doesn't know that. And I'll argue that later. That she doesn't know you can't change the edict. Because she assumes you can. So that I'll prove later. But apparently commuting sentences, changing people, exempting people, you don't need the Yoma. That's happening, like, you know, okay, you're not included. Okay, fine. So what's he going to argue? Save me, he'll save you. And remember, my argument was, the whole reason, Rabbi Rovovsky isn't going to be here, so I have another couple of minutes. So the whole...
He's
I know he's not coming, but I have to teach at 4:15. So I want to. So the reason that I believe that Ahasuerus agreed to Haman was because he's trying to buy favor from Haman, because Haman's a loyal person to Ahasuerus. So Ahasuerus wants to give him a gimme. Like, Haman asked for something, no, sure, no problem. He doesn't even know who it is, he doesn't know any of the details, he gives it in to him, no problem. Right? So Esther's not going to be able to undo that. He can love Esther as much as he likes. She's not that important in the end of the day. His loyalty to Haman is going to trump anything that Esther will ask him. So, right? So she needs to do, I'm going to argue, she needs to pull a wedge between Haman and Ahasuerus, meaning if she can try to sell Ahasuerus that Haman is actually bad, then she won't want to keep the edict. But not only bad, it can't be that Haman's bad. Haman being bad isn't the end of the story. So he's bad. No, big deal. She needs to show him that Haman is actually interested in taking over. Right? He's disloyal. Meaning, if the whole kunz is, if the whole kunz is that Haman and Ahasuerus is giving in because of loyalty, show him that Haman's disloyal. So what's one way of being disloyal? Well, show them, he's going to try to convince Ahasuerus that she and Haman are actually having an affair. That Haman is trying to take Esther. Now remember, there's a lot of layers to this. Haman's the one who told Ahasuerus to kill Vashti. Haman already realizes the power that getting rid of the queen, having a queen has, right? He knows that. If Haman is not just trying to kill out of people, but he's overly ambitious, meaning why are you trying to kill those people? Just because you don't like them, or you're trying to show your stature in my government, right? And so, but what's the outcome of that? If she successfully convinces Ahasuerus that she and Haman are having an affair, what's the outcome of that plan? Yes, Haman gets killed. Haman will be killed, and the plan, presumably, it will dissolve. But she dies too. Meaning, if she and Haman are having an affair, you don't just kill Haman. You kill Esther also. And that's what she says. V'kasher avadati avadati. If I die, I'll die. She's willing to risk her life for the Jewish people. The plan is convince Ahasuerus we're having an affair, right? And then Haman will die. Great. The decree will, she assumes, and I can prove that later. I have to run. I'll prove that later. But she assumes that the decree will end with Haman's death. And so, the decree will end. She'll also be dead. Then that's what the Gemara says. Esther was willing to sacrifice her life for the Jewish people. Not because she entered the chamber. Because she doesn't actually enter the chamber yet. She doesn't actually enter the chamber. She stands outside. Ahasuerus sees her. She doesn't go in. She doesn't go in. Yeah, but she doesn't go in. She doesn't actually do that. She's willing to risk her life, Kasher Avadati, to convince Ahasuerus that she's having an affair with Haman, to be killed. She's going to be killed. That's the plan. And if you read that, now you see the whole point of the party, it's effectively, I have to really pause, but she tells Ahasuerus the next day, played up, but come to the party, and as she's walking away, also bring Haman, and she's walking away. And if you look at it, it looks like she's trying to have an intimate party with some sort of romantic agenda. And as she's walking away, she says, bring Haman. And if you look at the psukim, she says, El hamishte asher asisi, lo, the party I made for him, or him in the third person. Him meaning, it's unclear as she's walking away. So Ahasuerus as she's walking away, in his mind, asher asisi, lo, me, him, what in the world is going on? Which gives more reason, I suppose, more why he can't sleep that night. He already starts to question Haman. It all fits in. But in the end, she doesn't do it. Meaning in the end, it doesn't happen. It doesn't. Because she changes the plan in the middle because she sees the Yad Hashem. I apologize, I need to go teach. I'm happy to continue next week, Mr. Shem.